I don't need to tell you what my text is. It comes from our reading. And it's the only verse that occurs twice. You know what it is, of course. Well, anyway, I'm joking. Here is the text. It's in verse 51. And it's in verse 52 with the addition of one word. Verse 51 says, we shall all be changed. The word all is missing in verse 52. We shall be changed. So 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 and 1 Corinthians 52, 15 verse 52. We shall be changed. Now that should arrest our attention immediately, because we means us. Here is something that's directed at us. We. Here's something. No wonder it's a mystery. It affects us. And we don't understand every mystery. Here's a mystery we don't understand about ourselves. We shall all be changed. Does that mean everybody? Does the we mean Christians? Or does the we especially mean non-believers? Who are we? We shall all be changed. Now, we means everybody. We shall all be changed when we die. Our bodies will be rot in the grave. Our souls will go straight either to heaven or hell. And then when the Lord Jesus returns, our bodies shall be raised from the grave, new and young again, either to go to heaven or to go to hell. The Lord is talking about Christians here. Paul is speaking the word of the Lord's Spirit. We as Christians shall all be changed. But unbelievers shall all be changed, but it's too horrible to think about. So let's just think about the change that shall happen to us. We shall all be changed. In a moment, I was silent for 3 moments. So how quickly is it going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 0.3 of a second, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Bet you won't be ready for it. Sure you won't be ready for it. It'll happen much too quickly. And when will it happen? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now, the word trump is not the same as trumpet. Trump is the noise that a trumpet makes. So at the last trump, the last sound of that trumpet, we should be changed. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Do you know what the word incorruptible it means? It means impossible to be changed, or impossible to be changed for the worse. Incorruptible. I'm getting old, as you know. I'm falling to bits. One bit doesn't work and it causes the other bit not to work and it causes the other bit to work. And the body is sort of running down and it's going to rot. It's corruptible. But incorruptible means that it will be restored. Restored to strength and health. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And here we are again. We shall be changed. So let's think about that part so far. It's talking about now, and it's talking about the end of life. For what will make it that we shall be changed in this way at the end of life is what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ now. We shall all be changed. It's something that's so exciting. It's something that is so wonderful. It's one of the planks of Christianity, that we shall be resurrected from the dead. The great thing that the Lord Jesus did among all his miracles was to raise Lazarus from the dead, to show us he does raise from the dead. And when you think about it, it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? We don't just live for this life. We have an eye on what lies beyond the grave. Millions and millions and millions and millions of years. But of course, we think as we get older, we'll go downhill, as we will. But the millions and millions and millions of years of eternity isn't running down, but running up, getting better and better and better with the experience of being there all that time. And God has always been in heaven and never got fed up with it. And neither will we, ever. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does it mean that it says we, as Christians, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed? We shall not sleep is meaning we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. What does that mean? Well, it means that there will be those that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will take them to be with himself immediately. They won't sleep in death. But just like those who've died already, we will all be changed. If the Lord came now, those who believe in him, we would be changed for the better instantly in the twinkling of an eye. Without dying. But for most of us, we will die. It makes no difference whether we're buried or cremated from the point of view of the Lord restoring us. Most Christians prefer to be buried because that's what our forefathers have done. But the Bible doesn't say that is necessarily right. But it makes no difference to God. Do you know, when we've been lying in the grave, he can raise us up into new life. Read Ezekiel 37 again. The Lord is able to take dry bones and draw bones to one another and draw skin onto the bones and give life. And where the body has rotted away, to bring it back to what it should be. Not back to where we had to walk with a walking stick. Not back to where we were as we were blind, not bad, back to where we were when we were deaf, but back perfect. And with a body changed, but our body, that will last forever and ever and ever. We'll never again get any of the things that have spoiled our life here. Not illnesses, nor ill treatment, or anything else that spoils. We shall not all sleep, but all of us will be changed. It's at the last trump, and if it's in the twinkling of an eye, can you imagine the movement that's going to go on? There are those that are alive on earth going to be changed in an instant and taken to be with the Lord Jesus. Meanwhile, the millions of believers who've died, their bodies also are going to be changed and raised from the dead or brought together again from the dust. And they will rise to go to heaven. And all of these billions will rise at the same time, independently, but by the power of the Lord. What a lot of movement. What a lot of power. What a lot of things going on at the same time. All under the Lord's control. A mystery. We think life's going to go on like it is now forever. It isn't. There will come a day when we shall all be changed. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to cast all our sins upon him that he might pay the price. For there is coming a day that will introduce believers into eternity, a time when they are acceptable to God because their sins have been paid for. The price has been paid by the Saviour for their sins. And the result will be eternity. The Lord Jesus says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So, and this is particularly important to young people, but of course to us all. We've got an eternal soul. Are we going to give it over to clubbing? Are we going to give it over to dancing? Are we going to give it over to money making? It would be so easy to lose the soul that lasts for eternity in heaven, to lose it to be a soul that lasts eternity for hell, just because we loved dancing while we were teenagers, clubbing, just because we always wanted to get money and were prepared to cheat to get it, and whatever other thing. What should we give in exchange for our soul? Dishonesty. Lying. Murder. Drugs. Think about it. Our soul is infinitely more valuable than these things. And its welfare to go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven forever and ever and ever changed is worth more than everything else put together. Don't get that wrong. Whatever you do, don't get that wrong. Don't decide suddenly that it's worth a murder. Not like you would. And ruin your soul. Don't decide that it's worth stealing. And you lose your soul, so to speak. You've given it in exchange for your soul. You can't get it back through the blood of the Lord Jesus. But don't put your soul at exchange for something that isn't worth what it's written on. So, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And at that moment, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. If you've ever seen the body of an animal, you know it stinks. Martha was afraid when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, because he'd been buried 3 days, that he would stink. But we shall be raised incorruptible. Nothing to spoil, nothing to make it stink, nothing wrong, everything perfect. We shall be raised incorruptible, changed. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. I don't look forward to change all that much. It's a funny thing, really, change. I remember looking out the window when I was 14 in Harrow in Northwest London, thinking, I never want to move from this place. It's all I've ever known. I don't want change. Am I glad I don't live there now? Am I glad that I've raised a family somewhere else? By nature, we don't want change. But this is being changed. This is the Lord working something wonderful within us. And then Paul here personalizes it. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Me, this body, this one that's falling to bits, this one that can't go on forever, this one that is spoiling, must put on that which will never spoil, that which will never change, that which will always be perfect. There will be nothing to spoil in heaven. This corruptible, namely Paul, namely me, namely you, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, that's me, I'm not talking about incorruption, but talking about death. Of course, I didn't know when I was born how long I was going to live. There was a chance when I was 5 I might live to 10, but who knows? Now I'm almost 90. I don't even know if I'll quite get there. But this mortal that knows it's going to die, mortal means death, mortality. This mortal must put on immortality. There's a certainty about it. There is a mustness about it. Now, in moments when we go astray, we think, it's not going to happen. There's not a mustness about it. But it must happen to a believer that he puts on immortality, and even the unbeliever puts on an immortality of shame and of sorrow. And when you and I, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Isaiah 25, death is swallowed up in victory. This morning we were thinking about the city of God being victorious at the end. And the last enemy, says the Bible, that shall be destroyed is death. And death shall be swallowed up in victory of resurrection, in the victory of being changed. In a sense, there's nothing to be frightened about in death. It's the getting there. We've never been there before. Even Jesus hadn't been there before. And he never knew what it was like to be separated from his Father. It was a new experience. It would be a new experience for each of us. And it's a bit concerning. It's not that death and being raised into newness of life is a problem. It's, what am I going to suffer? What have I got to put up with between now? Will I get gangrene and they'll saw my legs off in the last few months? There's a fear in each one of us about those things. But ultimately, this mortal must put on immortality. And when we've done that, death is swallowed up in victory. We shall be on the Lord Jesus' side. We shall be on the victory side. We shall live forever. We shall have no, be perfectly made. I guess that a child will become mature. I guess that those who wear glasses won't have to wear them anymore. And all the things that have gone wrong with us will be put right forever and ever. Shouldn't worry too much about teenagers. The thing that deals with teenagers' pride is spots. And when you get to your second childhood and go down through adolescence, it's spots again. But the Lord deals with our pride by the things that happen to us. We change. Can't hear, can't see. And therefore we've no cause to be proud. But the Lord will look after us. And he will change us. And his victory will show the power over everything to do with every one of his people's life by making them perfect again. We shall all be changed. But we shall not be changed like we remember. I don't remember nappy days. I do remember having pneumonia a number of times while I was young. Twice apparently before I was one, but I can remember. But I'd never remember being perfect. And when I'm changed, I'll be perfect. Perfect in mind as well. We all will be perfect. And perfectly made to worship the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever, and we'll never get fed up with being with him or seeing him or anything like that. And it's too valuable a thing to give up lightly. It's too important an issue to let it go by the board. We shall be changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be the most wonderful thing that could happen to us. The most wonderful thing that could happen to anybody. And even as Christ was raised from the dead, so shall we be. He bears the scars for our sakes, even now in glory. He's perfect, of course, but he has those marks. I don't think we shall have scars. They didn't achieve anything. We shall be perfect in Christ. Well, may the Lord give us great encouragement to put all our faith, hope, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, And the sooner we do it, the longer we'll enjoy his company. Amen.